Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the brand new fall season of the RV Atlas podcast. We're kicking off our fall season with a 6-episode miniseries all about Glacier National Park. These 6 episodes are going to tell you everything you need to know about planning a trip to Glacier. Yesterday, we actually walked through the planning process, talked about options for renting RVs, renting cabins, taking your own RV, national park lodges, etc., etc. Today, we're going to talk about specific gear for a trip to Glacier National Park. And before we dive in and just tell you all the things that we really think you need to bring specifically to Glacier, we want to thank our friends at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors. You can shop online at bassproshops.com and cabelas.com.
And you can get completely equipped for a trip to Glacier. You could just go to Bass Pro Shops or just go to Cabela's and get everything on this list.
100%, including the thing at the very top.
Yeah, and our point today is not really to highlight specific products necessarily, but to talk about kind of product categories of things that you really need to bring.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time, obviously, traveling during the year with our 3 kids. And to be quite honest, at this point, if you travel as much as we do, you don't like make a big stink of out of every trip, all right? So there's a lot of trips that like I don't buy special things for. I'm not out shopping for like the trip in advance.
Well, I don't pack differently for Great Smoky Mountains National Park and Shenandoah National Park. It's like the same thing. You know, like Glacier requires a different level of attention to detail.
I'm a little low-key when it comes to most of our trips. I don't make a big stink out of it. My boys have clothes that are good for clothes for playing on the playground or hiking. You know, it's not like we're not super hyper gear focused when we travel. However, I did feel that I had to pay more attention when we were going to Glacier. And that ended up being really true. And I was happy for the extra time I spent planning and buying certain things in advance. And so I really wanted to share that with everybody. Because one of the things that I kind of joke about on our podcast is like, when you've been RVing enough, you realize at a certain point, it doesn't matter if you forget something. You're like, oh, I've got a pack. Well, you know what? There's a Walmart everywhere. Like when you RV enough, you realize you can just pick up the ketchup. Just pick up. It doesn't really matter. Don't stress out about your lists. However, a place like Glacier, there isn't.
It is remote.
Yeah. And it is not as convenient to maybe get something that you forgot or left or pick up a new item. And you know what? It's going to be a lot more expensive. Everything for good reason is very expensive around Glacier National Park. So I think it's worth it to put that planning effort into it.
All right. The first thing we really think you need to bring, which you might not care to bring on every single trip, are binoculars. Now, this was kind of a failure and a success for me. So we own 2 pairs of binoculars. We own sort of a larger pair, the Cabela's Intensity HD binoculars. And then we have the compact version, the Cabela's Compact HDs. And I thought I was all crafty, like, well, I'm just going to bring the compact ones.
And you even asked me, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Because I want the smaller pair for my backpack. But then when you get to Glacier and you're hiking and there's just wildlife everywhere, there's mountain goats, there's black bears, there's moose everywhere. All the kids are fighting for the binoculars. And I so wished that I brought both pairs, but I was thankful that I just brought 1 pair. Yeah. To not bring a pair of binoculars to Glacier National Park is a fail.
You're not going to experience. It is amazing. Like there were moose that were down in the lake under. Like we were up on a perch, like on a trail, and we saw down in the water the moose. You could see the black dot.
It was like a dot.
And you're like, oh, there's a moose. You put those binoculars up and you were right there. When you're they like, came oh, out the of moose. The water.
Look at the moose drinking water.
It changed the boys' experience to have those binoculars. The only downside was that, of course, what do three kids with one pair of binoculars do? They just sit there and they just annoy each other until they get the binoculars.
They were so annoying. And then like Stephanie spotted black bear across Avalanche Lake. Like we had hiked out to Avalanche Lake. She's like, oh my gosh, was it one black bear?
It was one black bear. And I just ran right up to the edge and I grabbed those binoculars and we all got a look at that black bear.
I have to emphasize this. If you're just seeing the little dot in the distance, yeah, it's not that exciting. But then when you put the binoculars up and you're like, oh my gosh, look at the black bear drinking water in the lake. It's like adorable and wonderful. So bring a decent pair of binoculars or more if you have more.
Well, yeah. And I said to Jeremy, like those compact ones, I think those are going to be a Christmas present for the boys, because I think honestly, with the kind of trips we do, how much nicer would it have been if all three of them could have been looking through their own set of binoculars?
They would have used them on every hike.
They would.
Those are $149 each at Cabela's, and it's like a little bit of an expensive Christmas gift, but I think that they would really all use them. So yeah, for sure.
Well, we already have one, so
we have one, and we'll just rebox. And I have the box still.
We only have to buy
No one
two.
Will know who got the used one.
Exactly.
The second thing you used every single day on every single hike, I give you credit, the All Trails app, and not just the free version of the app. You really strongly recommend upgrading to the paid version, which you think was about $9.99.
I think it was $9.99 for the paid version of the All Trails. It doesn't matter. It's worth it. So what happens is on the free app, you can access the trail information. You can access all of the reviews and everything and all the little notes, which is really helpful. I cannot emphasize how great this app is because it's so populated. Like you'll see comments and reviews from the day before you're going on the hike. So it's not just that. When you pay, you can access your hikes offline.
That's huge. Well, there's no cell service.
There is zero. You have to understand, these gear recommendations mostly are based on scarcity, right? There is not a lot around Glacier. There's really no cell signal when you're in the park at all. So to be able to at the cabin at night download all the trails that we were doing and have that access and to be able to pull it up, it really helped me. It helped me as we're hiking. When you're hiking with kids, you want to know how far along the trail you are, right? Like I have my Apple Watch. It keeps pace with the amount of, you know, distance we've gone, but I loved having that app to be able to say to the boys, look, we're halfway through, we're, you know, this far in. So I really recommend that app all the time, but specifically when you're hiking in remote locations.
Now we also recommend really being thoughtful about packing layers. We experienced days that started at 47 degrees and worked their way up into like the mid 80s and mm-hmm. even like the upper 80s.
Yeah.
And sometimes we experienced all of those temperatures on one hike. I mean, when we hiked out to Grinnell Glacier, mm-hmm. 12 miles round trip, I mean,
it started in the 40s and it was in the upper 70s.
We were freezing in the morning and then I got a sunburn mm-hmm. in the afternoon on the back of my neck. So the point is not to recommend specific layers, but you need to bring fleeces. You need to bring hiking shirts. You should not be hiking in cotton t-shirts here. You should be using synthetic hiking shirts where the sweat is not going to get yucky and gross and the shirt's going to stay dry. You might want to start a morning hike wearing pants and have a pair of shorts in your backpack. I kid you not, because the temperature swings are pretty tough there.
Yeah, or I had one of those really great Columbia lightweight pair of hiking pants that is super breathable. And so I knew that I'd be comfortable both in the morning and then later on when it got warm. So I'm not a big stickler with quote unquote hiking clothes. I'm not one of those people that goes and buys the hiking clothes. I just buy nice, comfortable outdoors clothes that I know work for me. I've talked about this in the past. I actually made a post of my favorite, you know, clothes that I'm just going to continue to add to. But for this particular type of condition, having actual Columbia hiking pants is really important.
I can't stress enough for me. I really need to wear hiking specific shirts. I had hiking specific underwear. I had my darn tough hiking socks on and I had no blisters.
Yeah. Socks are important.
I was not in a soaking wet cotton shirt the entire time. So like a trip to Glacier is once in a lifetime. And I think part of the point is like don't go cheap on that stuff. Like, you need real hiking boots, hiking socks, and layers.
Well, let's speak to that more, the other hiking gear, right? Not just layers, but also really specific hiking gear. So people like us who have young kids may fall into the category that we do, where I really try not to invest too much in my kids' wardrobes because they grow out of them in a hot minute, right? It's just like in a second you buy something and they grow out of it. They're just at that stage in life. So, you know, many people out there I know have their kids just hike in like sneakers. And I'm usually like that too. My kids are fine in sneakers. In fact, there's a meme out there that's like, hey, dude, with the like camelback and whatever. My kid just
like the military grade hiking equipment.
It's like, oh, my kid just did this trail with flip flops and a Barbie, right? And it's that funny joke. And it's like, well, that may be true for a lot of trails, but I actually feel like flip-flops and a Barbie are not okay for most of the trails that you're going to experience in Glacier. So the boys had, I did get them hiking shoes because the rocky terrain here is just too hard for regular sneakers.
And let's be honest, one or two of our kids were difficult about wearing real hiking shoes. They wanted their sneakers on.
My kids do not like me to impose fashion, my own personal fashion choices on them. And the problem is, for the most part, I respect that. I hardly ever try to make them wear
anything.
They're
worried that all of their peers out on the Grinnell Glacier hike, all the kids from their school will see them and laugh at them.
Uncool hiking clothes. Yeah.
But for this
trip, I was really strict about them breaking in their hiking boots and then wearing them on the trail.
I think what we're kind of, you know, what we kind of discovered and what we kind of want to share with you here, Glacier's a hiking park. I mean, there are other national parks where there might be 10 or 15 or 20 things to do. Like, I think of Acadia National Park. There's so many different experiences. And look, Glacier's got all kinds of stuff too, but it is an elite hiking park in the world. So you want to bring the good stuff. And you can get all that good stuff at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. All the things
we're
talking
about,
you can get totally hooked up there for a great trip to a national park like Glacier.
Yes. And I have to say from my heart of hearts that one of my favorite parts about working with Bass Pro Cabela's is that they have all this kind of gear that we're talking about at a really good value for families. Now, what do I mean by value? I mean that if you want to spend like premium dollars on the best quality whatever, you can find it there, right? You can find a high quality, expensive pair of hiking boots or, you know, any kind of gear. But you know what? At the same time, if you're looking for something that's more budget friendly, maybe for your kids that grow out of things, you know, hiking.
Or you're just shopping for five people at once.
Or you just have a smaller budget because you have more people to buy for, you know, they have that also. And the things that we've gotten there at quote unquote value prices, like our raincoats, our hiking shoes, our backpacks, they have just lasted for years.
There is no better Gore-Tex rain jacket than the one they sell at Cabela's, and it is significantly less.
Yeah, I almost
any
like,
other brand.
I know they have new backpacks out there right now, and I want to try them because I want to be able to make good recommendations for our audience. But my Cabela's backpack that I've been carrying around now for, I think, 2.5 years is my favorite, and I love it, and I don't want to give it up. So there's always a new adventure for us around the corner, and we love that we can outfit for it at Bass Pro Cabela's. Go to Cabela's.com to outfit your next camping adventure.
Now, you need to bring lots of water with you when you are hiking in Glacier National Park. You also need to bring lots of snacks and energy bars.
Yeah.
And we flew with a lot of packaged snacks that then we used on our hikes.
And that was one of the best decisions that I made. Again, I say, oh, don't worry. Don't get too stressed out about this stuff. You can find it where you are. All right. There is actually like food scarcity on the east side of Glacier
National Park. And it's expensive.
National
if you were to just to buy Clif Bars every morning at the camp store, you're going to go broke.
So expensive. So one of the best decisions that I made was to go the best. There's a couple of places that I like. If you can find your Clif Bars for under $1 a piece in the 12, you know, in the 12 packets, that's your best value. I think I brought 4 or 5 boxes of 12 out with me, along with trail mix, along with a few other like packaged snacks.
You got like the Aldi trail mix.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. By the time we were on day 6, I think that we were out. But every other day, it was so good to have those options at hand because there's just not always something right there. And you have to be prepared always in the car, you know, to have that kind of snack on the hike, to be able to give your kids something that's going to give them sustenance to keep going.
And also, I would recommend like actually do the math for how much water you should be drinking based on your body weight, because it's easy to kind of think you're bringing enough water and then not bring enough water. All right, number six, the one everyone's been waiting for. You need to hike with bear spray. I think it's just foolish to not hike with bear spray. And there's some different ways to go about getting it. So look, if you buy it at like the KOA camp store, that is the most expensive option.
But they have it there, which is nice. There. So if you don't want to
like
worry
about it. $60 for a can.
Right.
In the National Park Visitor Centers, the same bear spray was $40 mm-hmm. a can. So it's expensive. Now, you can also rent bear spray.
At the Kalispell Airport, they had a little kiosk. And if I had known it was there, that's what I would have done. Because you rent it when you get off the airport at the airline. And then you just drop it back off when you come back. And I think if you're flying, that is the easiest way to do it. It was just right there at the airport.
And listen, you need to read the directions. It's really super easy to use. And thank God I didn't have to. I'm just saying, based on reading the directions, like I looked at the directions, I was like, okay, I can do this. And also one of the best tips we got from a ranger while we were there is you don't want to aim at a bear's face, God forbid, because if they're charging at you, the spray will end up probably going right over their heads. Mm-hmm. You want to spray down towards their feet as they're charging at you, and it creates a plume that goes up into their eyes.
I would highly recommend seeing one of the great demonstrations on how to use bear spray by the rangers. There's a lot of ranger programs going on all the time at all the different visitor centers, and they really focus a lot on bear safety. And I appreciated watching a ranger. They have like fake, you know, they're real canisters, but obviously not like loaded with the actual bear spray. And they do it, and it shows exactly what to do. And that was very confidence building.
Oh, when you read the directions, you look at it, you go, oh, I know how to do this, then you feel better. Also, you could order it from Amazon and have it shipped to the campground.
And that's
another
most
option.
Affordable way besides renting, probably.
Now, you also need bear bells. Like, there's just no reason not to buy them. They're cheap. They're for sale everywhere. Every campground, every camp store. The Coughlins were the ones we bought. They're mm-hmm. like $3 each. Every single one of our children had bear bells. We had bear bells. You might think they're annoying to hike with. They sound like beautiful music.
It's fine.
Frankly.
And I thought that it would annoy me. But eventually, once you're hiking out in bear country, you realize how nice it is to kind of relieve a little of that stress. And that noise ended up being okay for me. I would say that, you know, for people that aren't aware, you don't want to have to use your bear spray, right? What you want is for bears to know you're coming, for you not to surprise them, and for them to run away from you, right? A bear that is right in the head will run away from
a
noise.
And that's why our family's great for hiking in Glacier National Park, because we are so loud and our kids are so loud.
Okay, that's true, but it's also not true, right? Because think about how many times you're hiking 6 miles, 7 miles, 8 miles. And you know what? Honestly, our kids wouldn't be making any noise and it took the strain off.
That brings up a great point. The only time I was scared, a little like nervous hiking, was when we did the Grinnell Glacier hike, 12 miles round trip. We were on the trail at like, was it 7 o'clock in the morning?
7:30, yeah.
And that first stretch where you get out past Many Glacier Lodge and
tall
then the signs.
Grass.
Well, and then you're hiking through tall grass on either side. And there are signs that basically say you are no longer guaranteed safety.
Yeah.
Like that's what the signs say. You are not guaranteed to be safe here. And that part, I was like, oh my God, I'm so thankful for the bear bells. I'm so thankful for the bear spray. We are singing the entire time. And then just to calm people, I know a lot of people listening are probably nervous about the bear thing. And I was, I'm going to be honest with you. Just to give you the real skinny on it. We were with other people on almost every single hike. Mm-hmm. Like there might be stretches where you're alone, but most of the hikes you're going to do, you're going to be surrounded by other people who are also hiking. And that's quite comforting.
I know people go on and on about how, oh, the hikes are so crowded. And that might be the case, but
bring the people.
I'm fine.
Let's have all the people. Let's all go together. That's what I say.
Like, you know, there are hikes in Glacier like that are very remote, and I don't want to do those with my kids.
Grinnell Glacier, that was an amazing hike, the most beautiful hike we've ever done. The way out was so much more nerve-wracking than the way back, because the way back was later in the day and the trail was populated with hundreds of people. And I was smiling at every one of them, okay? Because if a bear were on the trail, well, there's just less of a chance he's going to get me and mine. Okay.
Right.
So bring the people. But anyway, the point is, be prepared. Learn how to use this stuff. If you're still nervous, I really recommend this book. There's a book called Don't Get Eaten, The Dangers of Animals That Charge or Attack by Dave Smith. It's a mountaineer's book, which that's the publisher. It's a really good, reputable publisher. It's a really great book to read through. It's good to know the difference between a black bear and a grizzly. It's good to know what you're supposed to do if you see one on the trail. And you, if you're armed with that knowledge, you are safer. You are substantially safer.
Yeah, I felt very educated while we were in Glacier about this, and it really did reassure me, and it helped me feel like empowered and not more scared while we were there. It was a very good experience for me to go through
and
that.
Look, we saw bears. We saw that one black bear while hiking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was across the lake, so we felt we were safe. But then there were other trails we hiked where we didn't see bear on the day we hiked, but then the next day somebody did, and they closed down the Hidden Lake Trail because a bear was eating a mountain goat.
About 5 minutes.
A carcass of a mountain goat.
About 5 minutes out, yeah.
Yeah, so the bear are there, okay? Yeah. And you need to be prepared with the bear spray, the bear bells, and you should read up on bear safety stuff.
Okay, now, a couple of things that I want to talk about in reference to the cell signal connectivity in this park. Okay. So the next thing that you want to do with regards to preparing your gear is you want to print out all reservations and confirmation numbers and anything that you need like that. I cannot emphasize enough that you cannot rely on your phone. We are so reliant on our phones. We're so used to just pulling up the email, pulling up the app. Throughout this trip, there were more times that we did not have connectivity than there was that we did.
You just kept the old school on some of these things.
Yeah. So I was really happy that ahead of time, I had actually printed out all of the things that I needed from the rental car, you know, all of those things I had printed out. I put it in a manila folder and I put it into my backpack. So all of our reservation information was there and everything. And I felt confident that I wouldn't have to be like trying to get something on my phone. Again, downloading those hikes on Allstays so that they're not necessary to connect. You could print out some of those things too. You really should be prepared for that. And then I'm going to say the funniest thing at all. You might want to consider buying some phone cards.
Well, you said you saw people using them at the lodges.
Right. So what happens is if you are in the Apgar Village and you're in the St. Mary's on the east side, right? So the Apgar Village on the west side and the St. Mary's on the east side. I had decent cell signal to be able to look something up on those outermost lodges.
But it's funny. It's like the second you enter the park, it's
Once you go in, it is gone. So at Lake McDonald Lodge, I'll give a very specific example. I was there. I was asking about horseback riding. They did not have like the other stables information for whether they had openings. So I was there. She said, they may have openings for the 3 o'clock, but you'll have to call. I said, I don't have any cell signal and there's no there's no internet connection at all. And what they have is inside all the lodges, they have payphones. They have good old fashioned payphones that people use their cards for. So even if you're not staying at one of those lodges, it might be a really good idea to just have a card.
Could be clutch for a couple dollars.
Because you couldn't make any reservations unless you had a phone card that you could use at one of those phone booths. And there was a few times throughout the trip when I would have loved to have been able to make a call when we were like, oh, the red car, you know, the red bus tour or the this or the that. And I would have loved to make a call to check on something or to make a reservation for something or the boat tickets. And I couldn't do it because we had zero cell. So I say bring a phone card.
Also, we recommend bringing a healthy souvenir budget. Stephanie is like immune to wanting to buy souvenirs at national parks, but the selection of Glacier National Park souvenirs was off the hook amazing. I mean, you're going into the souvenir shops and the National Park Service shops, you're talking Pendleton blankets, Pendleton hats, gorgeous artistic t-shirts, posters.
T-shirts. I haven't bought a t-shirt.
Never.
Never.
They have these beautiful stuffed animals for every animal for every animal in the park. So after we would see a moose, Wesley would want to get the moose stuffed animal. They had clean canteens with Glacier National Park logos on them. They had gorgeous stickers. I've never seen such an amazing collection of national park souvenirs.
Oh, the coasters. I got so
sucked in. Stephanie bought a coaster set. I mean, we're dropping like slapping down $100 bills on souvenirs.
I'm telling you, you have to plan that in your budget for this trip because I've never seen.
Olympic didn't come close. Badlands didn't come close.
I don't think I have one single Olympic souvenir.
There's all of these like nonprofits and all these companies that do these really cool, unique t-shirts and things like that too, where also like a percentage gets donated to the park. So bring some money to get some really cool glacier
souvenirs.
Yeah, you
have to build that into your budget because it's worth it. I still had to, I bought two t-shirts, a hat and coasters.
The mugs.
And every time I walked in, I was always like, maybe that. And I did have to like keep myself under control, and I don't ever have trouble keeping myself
under control.
And the
Pendleton blankets, like after you do the Red Bus tour and you have a Pendleton blanket in there to keep you warm, you start thinking crazy thoughts about buying $400 blankets.
I know.
We did, and we didn't.
We did not.
I bought a Pendleton baseball cap, which I love, and my barber Oz also loves. That was like a $30 baseball cap.
Yeah.
One last recommendation, because it is such a hiking park. I bought the Falcon Guide to Best Easy Day Hikes for Glacier and Waterton, and that was terrific. Though if you want to do more rigorous hikes, they're not in there. So like the Grinnell Glacier hike we did was not in there. So in that case, you might want to get the regular Falcon Guide to Glacier and Waterton. I've loved the Falcon Guides and had really good success using them for hiking in the parks. So we're going to come back. We got four more Glacier episodes. We're going to review the St. Mary East Glacier KOA, and then talk about all the cool things to do on the east side in another episode. Then we're going to review the West Glacier KOA in an episode, and then come back for our final episode and talk about all the awesome things we did on the west side of Logan Pass. So four more Glacier episodes coming up. It was the trip of a lifetime, and we really do hope we can inspire you to get to Glacier as well.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.